The big question in business? Today it's coming from the Republicans. Should the government back off?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Adrienne Hill, in for Steve Chiatakis. We'll get to our big question in just a minute, but first, weekly jobless claims are out. 383,000 people applied for unemployment last week. The U.S. Labor Department says that's the lowest level in nearly 3 years. There's hope that companies are finally starting to hire, but it's not fast enough for a whole lot of folks out of work. Which brings us back to today's question. Are government regulations getting in the way of new jobs? A House panel will take that up later today. Marketplace's David Gura is with us now live from Washington to help us sort it out. Good morning, David.
Hey, Adrian.
So give me some specifics about what regulations the House Republicans are targeting.
Well, Daryl Issa, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, has cast a pretty broad net. Today, there'll be testimony from manufacturers and small business owners, and they're going to talk about what Congressman Issa is calling regulatory impediments to job creation.
Big name.
It's likely we'll hear about the health care overhaul, financial reform, and EPA rules. Kurt Bardella is Congressman Issa's press secretary.
We need a robust and expansive debate about what we can do next to try to foster a better environment for job creation.
They've gathered a long list of complaints, 200 letters from companies and trade groups. The White House has come up with a list of its own regulations it thinks should go, but it's safe to say that list isn't nearly as long.
Now, it's not just businesses and regulations that the Republicans are focusing on this week. They've just unveiled a new trimmed budget. What's the budget go after?
They're trying to make good on that spending cut promise they made on the campaign trail. They want to cut they want 60 federal programs eliminated. There'd be some big cuts to the Department of Education, to high-speed rail. Republicans say their budget would save about $35 billion.
All right, David Gura in Washington. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Proposed legislation in Washington state has electric vehicle enthusiasts all charged up, and not in a good way. The bill would tax EV drivers for the gasoline they don't use. From the Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner explains.
Gasoline taxes pay for road maintenance and repair, but cash-poor states are beginning to worry about dwindling road funds as more drivers go electric. Today, a Washington State Senate committee considers a bill that would make EV drivers pay $100 a year. That would make up for the gas taxes they won't pay. Stephen Lowe is with the Seattle Electric Vehicle Association. He says any special fee on electric cars is just one more roadblock to their adoption.
Some people are paying from $1,000 to $2,000 to have their garage wired up for these higher power charging infrastructures. Another $100 is just, some people are going to say, forget it.
Lowe's group may push instead for an electric car tax that's based on miles driven every year instead of a flat fee. That would probably end up costing EV drivers less. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Now, let's do the numbers. Global markets are down this morning. We've had a slew of earnings reports today, including disappointing results from server maker Cisco Systems and stronger sales numbers from grocer Whole Foods. Apparently, shoppers are buying more brie. The Dow finished yesterday slightly higher at 12,239.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Reputation.com, helping doctors, lawyers, and small business owners monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation Defender is now Reputation.com.
Fashion Week begins today in New York. Those pricey catwalk designs are out of reach for most of us, but cheap copycat versions could be available in no time. So a proposed law aims to copyright clothing designs. But some legal experts say that could be a fashion don't. Janet Babin reports.
Designer Nanette Lepore has held dozens of fashion shows, but she says it's always a mad dash to the catwalk.
We're still scrambling, we're behind, and I'm panicked.
About 130 people work at her garment district studio. For the show, she's mocking up a blouse with bias-cut sleeves.
So we're into, like, playing with bias again, which always makes me nervous that we keep harking back to the 1930s since that was our Depression-era clothing.
Lepore's business was flat last year. This drapey sleeve could help drive sales, but distinctive designs like these are easily knocked off, then sold by mass marketers for a fraction of the original's price. That's good for people who shop at places like Zara and H&M. Not so good for designers. Lepore's lost sales to imitators before.
I discovered this lace-up-the-back trick that made it so that we didn't have to make sizes in clothing. But a lot of bigger companies took that and ran with it.
Lepore supports a bill that would give copyright protection to her unique and original designs for 3 years. But Duke Law professor James Boyle says the bill will have unintended consequences. Imagine, he says, the courtroom drama that could break out over two little black dresses.
The idea of federal judges or juries deciding whether or not they think something looks similar. I mean, can you imagine? The fashionistas will be rolling their eyes.
And even designers at the top of the fashion food chain draw from the zeitgeist. Jennifer Jenkins directs the Center for the Study of the Public Domain at Duke Law School. She says a few years ago, Diane von Furstenberg created an adorable jacket, only
it looked exactly like a jacket made by a small Canadian designer named Mercy.
Von Furstenberg can afford expensive copyright attorneys, but even if this bill passes, Jenkins says smaller shops like Mercy will struggle to prove their work is their own. Congress is expected to consider the bill sometime this year.
Okay, good. Can I have two pattern makers from upstairs today?
Just not in time for Fashion Week. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, there'll be a surprising accessory on those Fashion Week catwalks. The fanny pack is back. According to the Wall Street Journal, Diane von Furstenberg will start selling a hands-free bag for $325. Prices skyrocket from there. Hermes will sell its version for more than $4,600. A far cry from the $7 neon pink fanny pack I sported back in the 80s. Or maybe not. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
There are two economies in Egypt, one for the regular folks, one for the dictatorship.
Being in control of key political portfolios does give you a tremendous advantage when it comes to setting up business deals.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the law of corruption, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.